All right, well, let's pray. Father, we want this time on a Sunday morning in the discovery class to be, is it sacrilegious to say a time that you look forward to? I don't mean it to be, Lord. I mean that you would see the body of Christ as you've instituted it, built us around the word and around the fellowship, and that you would be honored by the way that we try to live by your word, try to love each other. And so, Lord, that this Sunday morning might be a time that we reflect on that and that we express it to each other through just this, the fun that we have together, the deep requests that we share. And as thought Dr. Doriani prayed so well one Sunday, that these are just representative prayers and representative requests when we talk about people who are sick, and that everybody in here has things that are concerning, from medical to relationships to financial, just all the stresses of life. And so we pray that we will be able to handle those differently because we're believers. And that is true, and we can and we do. And we are thankful to you. But, so we pray on a Sunday morning that we would bring all these things to you, realize that you're operating in them, not randomly, but with purpose, and that you've given us opportunity to serve each other, which is therapeutic in and of itself. We thank you for all of that and for the joys that you bring us, the joys of the friendships in here, just the great blessings that you bring. We thank you for that. And we thank you for a time that we can gather for Briarwood Church that has a great mission and dedication to you, dedication to the community. Lord, we have Max Bunn here who has just dedicated so much energy to helping us impact the community. So we thank you for him, pray for him and his roles as a dad of four, I believe, and pastor and a husband. Just pray for great energy and strength for Max and protection. And we thank you that he's here today and pray that you would teach us through him. And I pray that in Christ's name, amen. Max, thank you for being here. Max Bunn is our pastor of mobilization. Is that
local
among
missions
many?
And local
missions. Okay, local missions and mobilization. Yep. So tell us more about that. Let me finish you this.
Thank you so much, John. Sorry, I think some people got a heart attack. I was planning on, I talked to John, he said, we don't start till 5 till. So I was like, great, I'll be there at 5 till 5 till. And I'm still 1 minute. I got 1 minute. It's 9:54. So, I wanted to make the most of every opportunity to prepare and go by my office and get a few things. But, it's a joy to be here. I've been here before and shared a little bit about, what I do, but, John and I were talking about, just kind of where you guys are as a class and just that it might be good to get a little refresher of who I am, what I do, but then specifically talk about spiritual gifts. And part of this time, I want to be a discussion. I was looking through my notes as I had been preparing, and I was like, I probably have an hour's worth of content. And so, I've already, on the drive over here, I was praying and thinking through, it's like, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about this, but I'm going to try to focus here and then open it up for some discussion. And also try to, create some time where we can, engage together, where I can ask some questions and we can talk together. But as he prayed for me, kind of introduced me, I'm the local missions and mobilization pastor. I have four children ranging from 18 to 9 years old, a senior in high school to a fourth grader, three boys, and then a little girl at the end. And that's been a joy and a pleasure. More importantly, and most importantly, besides my relationship with the Lord, is my wife, Kathleen. Many of y'all have prayed for her. She suffered from chronic migraines for over 10 years. And then the last couple years, she's really had a a bad case of, is a simple way of putting, of migraines that cause, her to feel nausea and dizziness and things like that. But over the last year or so, that has improved significantly, and she's been able to go back to work and do diet, exercise, and drugs and many other things. And the Lord's healing, she's doing really well overall. Her capacity is limited. That's what I would say. She's not, you know, where she used to be. And that's been probably the hardest thing for her, is adjusting her expectations because of her limitations. But she's doing really well and functioning. And most of the time when you see her, you might not know that she has chronic migraines, because when she's here, she's here because she's been doing other things to allow her to be fully here and be engaged and be present. Speaking of that, she's not with me today because she's with my daughter in Atlanta, on a girls trip. But so she's not here with me, but our vision statement, we'll start off with, what is Briarwood's vision statement? Anybody want to take a shot at it? It starts off with the word for. For God's glory, Briarwood is committed to. No, not reaching. Equipping Christians. Now they're reaching to reach Birmingham and the world for Christ, right? So I'll just say it all together so we know it, but it's like, for God's glory, Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians to worship God and to reach Birmingham and the world for Christ. That's what we're committed to do. And so my role in the missions department's role, in a sense, is that reaching Birmingham, equipping Christians to reach Birmingham and the world and so for Christ. That's what we really want to do. And then my role specifically is the reach Birmingham. Love your neighbor. That's another way to think about that, is to help our church do that. And so that's what I want to do. And so how do we do this? Do it in many ways, but if we take that vision statement, our team has kind of summed our vision statement down to this: reaching Birmingham by developing and deepening partnerships and mobilizing our members. And so developing and deepening partnerships, those are the partners that we have around the city of Birmingham. There's about 30 ministries that we have either a formal or informal partnership with, that we engage with, that we support financially, either through our national team or our local team, that to reach the city of Birmingham with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's one way. So we're developing those relationships, and we're deepening those relationships, and we're also developing new relationships to be able to reach Birmingham for Christ. So that's one part of it. But the other part of it, and we've done that for a long time, and we've done that really well for a long time, so we want to keep doing that. But the other part of that is by mobilizing our members. And so that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today, and that's what kind of connects with spiritual gifts. Because before you can be mobilized, before you can go out and be engaged in these ministries and reach your neighbor and reach Birmingham for Christ, you need to kind of know, well, what am I good at, and how has God gifted me? And so I want to spend a few minutes talking about a passage in 1 Peter chapter 4. So I heard y'all are Bible turners. That's what John Donaldson said. That was a quote from Dr. Dan about our class. Y'all are Bible turners. So let's turn in your copies of God's Word to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're just going to be looking at two verses here. Sorry, I've got to put on my readers. That has been humbling. The closer I've gotten to 50, the Lord has I'm gonna move this down so I don't bump it. But we're gonna look at this together. So starting in verse 10. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks, oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to focus on this passage for a few reasons. One is there's other areas where you can look for spiritual gifts and find in the scriptures. Probably the most famous is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14. That's a great place. There's an extensive list there. In Romans 12, there's a list, and there's a list here, and then there's one other passage off the top of my head. I can't remember exactly what it is, but those tend to be the most common places where these lists of gifts are, and where Paul talks about spiritual gifts. And then here Peter talks about spiritual gifts. Today, we're not going to focus specifically on the gifts. We're going to talk about more about how to discover your gifts and some principles about gifts. And so when we look at this passage, specifically verse 10, it says, as each has received a gift. And I think that's one of the things that we need to hear and understand, is that no one is immune as God's children. If you are a Christian, then you have received gifts. You have received spiritual gifts. God has given gifts to all believers. So he's given different gifts, and he's given gifts in varying degrees, but he's given us all gifts. So no one can say, I don't have any gifts. So that's this. We got to make sure we understand that. That might sound like common sense, but you'd be surprised how many people I've heard through the years say, I don't have any gifts. I don't have anything to offer. I can't be used by God. There's people that think that. The reality is that's a lie. It's a lie from Satan. God, if he lives in you by his spirit, he has equipped you with gifts. And then also a verse that I wanted to mention earlier, but I didn't, but I can connect it here, is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, basically, we know this passage well. It's a great passage, especially verses 8 and 9, where it says, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, but it is a gift of God, right? And he talks about how God's grace is a gift. But then in verse 10, he says that he created us for good gifts. He saved us and created us for good gifts. I mean, not for good gifts. He created us and saved us for good works. And so how did he equip us? If every believer who's been saved by grace has been created for good works, well, how did he equip us to do those good works? Well, he put his spirit inside of us, and he gave us gifts to do his good works. And those are different. Some of them are similar for some people, but they're different for all of us. They're unique for all of us. So every believer has received gifts. They've received different gifts. And that's why I'm wearing these glasses, so I can read my own handwriting on my iPad. But they're varied gifts. I think that's another thing that passage points out. It says, to use to serve to one another as God's stewards, as varied, of God's varied grace. These gifts are varied, and I've kind of already hit on that. But that's why there's, you know, people would say three or four places in the Bible, and there's a debate between 18 and 21 gifts that are in the scriptures, but they're varied. And there's other thoughts and teaching on that as well. But that's just kind of most Christian, theologians and stuff would go there. And Dr. Doriani's book on, 1 Peter, his commentary, he does a great job. If you want to go deeper into this, you can look at his book. He has a couple of, 3 pages worth of list of gifts, and he breaks them down into speaking gifts, doing gifts, supernatural gifts, natural gifts. So he breaks them down in different ways that are helpful to think about. And so, but they're varied. That's the point. They're varied gifts. They're different gifts. But discovery of gifts. How do we discover Well, first, let me say this before I move on, that the purpose of the gifts are to serve one another. And so that's one of the ways we know it's a spiritual gift, is that does it help us build up the body of Christ? Does it help us serve one another and to serve others, to love our God's people and to love those that could become God's people? And so that's the goal. That's the focus. It's not about building you up. It's about building those around you up. So that's one thing that it points out in this text. And then the last thing in verse 10, it says, as God's stewards, the last couple of things, as God's stewards, one of the things that I wanted to point out about this is stewardship. There's a sense in which, that we are a steward, but yet God is a steward as well. And when it comes to spiritual gifts, so they're God's gifts that he's given to us. And so they're his gifts, but they've been given to us. So we have a responsibility to steward those gifts and use those gifts, as well. And so it's a shared responsibility, to use our spiritual gifts. And so that's one thing I wanted to point out. And then the last thing about these gifts that I wanted to say, and then we're going to talk about how to discover those gifts, is that these gifts are by, they're an act of God's grace. And I think that's, really important for us to think through, that God, by his grace, makes us stewards of these gifts. These are not, just like grace that for salvation it's a gift of God. We didn't do anything to earn it. You know, and I don't want to pick on anybody. It's like, I know John teaches, right? And there might be some of you that sit in here and think, I could never do what John does. I could never stand up here and lead our class and pray and teach sometimes. The reason he can do that, he didn't choose that. That's the way God gifted that to him by his grace. Just like our salvation has been gifted to us by his grace. But there's things that person that's probably sitting out there thinking, I can never do what John does. There's things that you can do that you wouldn't want John to do. Or John might be able to do it, but he can't do it very well. That's the way gifts work. And so I think that's important to think about as well when we think about gifts. So how do we discover these varied gifts that have been given to us by his grace? We discover them by being in the context of the body or community. And so one of the ways is just being a part of a community. You're doing it right now by being here on Sunday morning and being a part of the Discovery community. You're going to learn things about yourself. You're going to learn things about others that's going to help you discover your gifts. Another thing, is to ask yourself is what kind of interests do you have or abilities do you have, that are unique? Obviously, John has a level of teaching and speaking gifts. Now, John, you're going to be my person I pick on for the class. You're probably used to that, though, right? But it's because he's using it. He's doing it, right? In the context of community. And Frank hasn't pulled him aside and said, brother, we need to find another person to stand up there and do announcements and pray because, I don't know if that's your gift. No, most of you probably again sit there and say, man, John does a phenomenal job and I'm glad he's doing it because I don't have to do it. Right? That's because he's gifted in it and he's exercising his gift and his gift is being affirmed in the context of community. So that's one thing. But thinking about interests, thinking about abilities, thinking about desires, do you have the desire to serve others? So ask yourself, what do I desire or how do I desire to be used by God? or to impact others or to love others. That might be a good indication of a gift. I was meeting with, I'm not going to use their name because I didn't get permission, but I was meeting with a gentleman recently about community groups, and he was just asking me about community groups, and he said, the Lord has blessed us with a great home. It's a large home. We have a pool. We're on a lake. And I love having people in our home. And it was obvious, I mean, we never said this, but through our conversation, he has the gift of hospitality. And God has equipped him. He's given him the resources to use that gift of hospitality, by having people in his home. And he was telling me about some of the groups that he has in his home and how he serves them and how he loves them. And, but he's wanting to, he's doing a lot of stuff that's more in the community using his home and using his gift of hospitality and in his neighborhood, but he wants to use it in his community. And so that's where we're specifically talking about community groups. But he had that desire to use his gift of hospitality. So what is the desire that you have? What are some desires, that you have? And then you got to get out there and do it. You have to use what you desire and that you have the ability to do. Go out and do it. And then ask, be honest with yourself. Are you effective in doing that thing? And that's why it's important to do it in the context of community and in the local church, in the context of discovery. So that's why I'm going to pick on John again. It's like he has the desire to maybe at times you don't have the desire. But for the most part, God's given him the desire to lead, to teach, to lead the class, right? He's been doing it. And he has the ability to do it, but then people have affirmed him and encouraged him in that. Or at least they haven't come up to him and said, brother, we need to find someone else to do it, right? I would imagine y'all would encourage him and tell him that he's fruitful. He's effective in his leadership as a class leader, as a teacher, as a guide for the discovery class. Just a couple of examples I'll share. One example of this would be, how someone might have a desire to do something, but they don't think, I'll leave it there. So there's a guy, I'm making up a name, but one, I remember this very vividly. So as I was praying, this came up. So, but when I was on staff with Campus Outreach, this would happen often, but there's one guy in particular, and I'm making up his name. His name was Gary, and he came up to me as a junior in college, and he had been involved in our ministry, came to Christ through our ministry when he was a freshman and was growing. And Gary was a nice guy. He was a good guy. He was a great guy. And he told me he came, he wanted to meet with me, and he said, it is my desire and calling. I feel called to come on staff with Campus Outreach. And I was like, okay, you know, that's great that you have that clarity. And I start, you know, I asked him some questions, you know, well, why? And he said, well, I love God's word and I want to honor God. He had all the right answers. I want to impact men for Christ and I love college students and all these things. And I said, okay, well, let's do this. Where do you live? And he lived in a certain dorm. I said, I want you to start a Bible study in your dorm and I want you to invite everybody on your floor to come to that Bible study. And I named two or three other people that were in the dorm that were also involved in our ministry. And I said, invite them to help you do this, and see what happens and you lead it. And even gave them, I said, here's a couple of options. Like I didn't just throw them out to win. I gave them some tools, gave them some ideas, I gave them some vision, And so I did that. And then I said, come back to me, you know, in a month or so or halfway through the semester and tell me how it's going. Well, he did. He went out. He did that. And then he came back to me and I said, hey, how's it going? Or I saw him at a meeting or something. Hey, how's that Bible study going? Blah, blah, blah. Because I hadn't really heard anything. And he said, well, we tried and, we sent out, you know, we went around and invited people. And at first, a few people showed up and seemed interested. And then, After the first week or two, nobody came and it was just us and we were just there. And so we started talking through it more. And long story short is that he had the heart. He had the desire. He didn't have the gifting to lead a Bible study, to teach a Bible study, to reach out to people and especially broadly in a dorm. So I began to talk to him more and get to know him. And I realized he had a specific major. And I said, who are the people you're spending the most time with day in, day out? And he told me and I said, why don't you just focus on a couple of guys in that area? And I said, see if you can just start a Bible study with them. And so he did. And one of them actually, was interested and they started meeting together and he led a Bible study with them and it ended up being a great experience for him. But as we circled back around and we were talking as a team and everything, I brought this guy up and I said, this guy really wants to come on staff at Campus Outreach. This is what's happened. But it doesn't seem like anybody, you know, other than one or two guys, nobody's really responding to this guy. Nobody's really following this guy. So I don't really know that he's cut out to be a campus outreach staff. It doesn't mean he can't do evangelism and discipleship and God isn't calling him to do that, but maybe not as a career. And it so happened in his major, he had straight A's. He was really, really good at what he was doing. And it was one of those majors, I can't remember, but like accounting or, you know, or biology or, you know, chemistry or something like that. And it was obvious that he was very gifted at that. He was respected in that field. And that's why, you know, the few people that he was real close to there would come to a Bible study with him. But the guys in the dorm, the general guy that's in the dorm wouldn't. And part of what we're looking for, you know, to be gifted and to be on staff with Campus Outreach is that you would be able to reach the campus, that you would be able to reach multiple different types of people. And so, so that was just an example where I saw getting somebody involved. They have a desire, not sure if they have the ability, but helping them and giving tools and trying to get them out there and get them in ministry. And it gave clarity that he probably wasn't gifted in teaching, and leading. But he was gifted in a lot of different other areas. And so we actually were able to use him on our Summer Beach project. He led our servant team and he led all our AV stuff. He led, back then we got mail. So we had a mail team. He led the mail team, and all our setup and breakdown because we used facilities that were off site from the hotel. So everywhere we go, people had to show up an hour early, set up sound, set up chairs, set up tables. Set up everything for our thing. And he could organize that. He could lead that and he could get people to do that. It turned out it wasn't that he wasn't gifted and couldn't be used by the Lord. It just wasn't that he was gifted in that particular area to be a campus staff guy. And so, so that's just an example, but he wouldn't have discovered that unless we tried it, right? And so that's my point to you is, you have a desire for something, you think you might be gifted in something, then try it. You're not going to lose anything to get out there and do it and try it. So, I'm going to, switch gears now to, so that's one way to discover your gifts, so that you can be deployed, and steward your gifts. So how to start? And I've already kind of hit on this, is to ask questions. Ask yourself questions. What am I good at? What do people seem to affirm me in? That's a really good question because people tend to see gifts in you that you don't see in yourself. In Dan's book, and he actually used it as a sermon illustration too, but he talked about how when he was at a camp with college students and the campus minister pulled him aside and said, hey, I want you to do a 15-minute devotional before we start. And, would you mind doing that? He said, you know, sure. But it was the first time he had ever spoken in front of a group of people and he got some ideas and prepared something and stood up in front of his friends and he shared a devotional. And he said afterwards, one of his buddies came up to him and said, hey, I didn't know you could do that. And Dan said, I didn't know I could do that either. And he said he's never stopped teaching since. That's what, how he discovered his gift of teaching. That campus minister saw something in Dan Doriani and asked him to do something that ignited and opened up this passion for teaching. And we've all been blessed by that for the past 2 years. Thousands of seminary students have been blessed by that. Thousands of other church members across our country have been blessed by that. But that one guy seeing something in someone and asking them to use that to help them discover that they have this gift of teaching. And so what do others say about you? How do people encourage you to use your gifts or to be involved with things? Example might be, I'm not going to use a negative example, but that's one thing. Another thing is gift inventory. Wendy Long's sitting in here. She's the membership office, and every member going back how far? At least, 15 years. If you join the church, you took a gifts inventory. And so you should, if you joined the church in the last 15 years, unless you missed that class for some reason, you didn't get to take that class. But you might be wondering, are my gifts still the same? Well, we can get you a link or a gifts inventory. Email me, email Wendy, and we'd love to help you do that. But take a gifts inventory test. There's also free ones online. You can just Google gifts inventory. But that's a great place to start, just to think about, what are my spiritual gifts? And when you do that, think about, well, where does that line up with my abilities or my gifts? Then don't just wait for people to tell you what you're good at. Ask them. If you have a group of friends or people, that's a great thing to say. Hey, I've been thinking about this. What do y'all think? Is that a dumb idea? You know, the thing about hosting this Bible study in my home or opening our home to do X, or I've been thinking about going over and serving in this way. Ask those that know you, your family, your spouse, your friends around you, and ask, do they think that would be a good idea or not? Or they see that gift in you? So switching to kind of what's going on at Briarwood. Well, that's one of the reasons, is Impact Birmingham. We do that twice a year, but one of the reasons we do that is for exposure. It's to give people an opportunity to see what God is doing locally here in our city and in our area through different ministries, and give opportunities for people to use their gifts. I know a lot of you think, you know, might not be called to spreading paint, pine straw or painting or whatever, but that's why we have, we've asked, and as far as I know, they do it, but we have the first 30 minutes is supposed to be the executive director or a leader in that ministry sharing with you the vision and the values and what that ministry is about and how it's being used in the community. So you can learn about the ministry. There are people in here that are gifted in painting and doing manual labor. But most of us at Briarwood probably aren't gifted in that. But these ministries have many needs. One of the greatest needs I hear from our ministry partners is they need board members. Board members. That's like a once a month meeting where you get to go and strategize and help and give leadership and encouragement to the executive director. One of the things you got to know about these ministries in our city is that these executive directors are passionate about their ministry and they have a vision for it, but they're not good at accounting. They're not good at HR or people management. You know, they're not good at everything, you know, so they're not lawyers or, you know, whatever. But Briarwood's full. I'm sure this class, if I asked how many lawyers we have in here, we probably have at least 10 lawyers in here, or medical professions, or, you know, our businessmen or businesswomen. We are well equipped. We have tons of leaders in this. So my point is you can use your gift to help these ministries. And so Impact Birmingham is a great way twice a year to go out and serve, do something with a ministry, learn about a ministry where there's a need to serve. I want to share one quick story and then I'm going to open it up for some questions, but, an example of that. So let me say it this way. Impact Birmingham exposes you to different opportunities. And then if one of those connects with you, what my hope and desire would be is that there would be engagement, would take place next. And so what that means is maybe you would go back and serve on your own or take your family to serve, or your small group to go serve. And those things are happening. Or as a class, you might say, hey, we're going to adopt that ministry. That's happening as well, as Sunday school communities have gone and served and they've heard about the ministry, the heart for the ministry, and they've gotten a heart and a desire, and they're partnering with that ministry and praying for that ministry every Sunday. But an individual story of how we've seen this play out is a guy named Nathan, and he has given me permission to share this. But he went to Big Oak Ranch, and he signed up, and they went to spread pine straw. And so Nathan is a musician. He plays the cello, and he writes music. He's not a pine straw spreader. It probably takes him 5 times as long to spread pine straw as the, you know, the people you hire to come to your house and put pine straw out, right? But he wanted to serve. But at the beginning, when the person shared about Big Oak Ranch and he heard about these boys that don't have homes, and what Big Oak Ranch does, it pulled on his heartstrings, and he said, I want to be a part of that somehow, some way. But then he began to think, he goes, I'm 31. I'm single. I can't be a house parent and take care of a house full of boys. You have to be married to do that. So he said, I can't really, I'm faithfully dating and pursuing and asking the Lord for a wife. Can't really do anything about that right now. But what is something that I'm passionate about that I enjoy doing that maybe I can use to serve these boys and build relationships and be engaged and encourage these families? And he is passionate about pickleball. And so he met with me and he said, hey, I want to help serve at Big Oak Ranch. And he shared with me all these things. And I asked him that question. I said, well, what are you passionate about? What do you love doing? He said, I love playing pickleball. And I said, well, what if you went out there and you started a pickleball program? And he said, I could do that. And I said, I don't know, but let's find out. And so he calls. I connect him with the lady that's in charge of all the volunteers. He calls her, and it took a long time because to do stuff at Big Oak Ranch, you gotta go. It's like taking a government job and, for undercover, CIA or something, they protect those kids, but to be able to interact with those families and kids. But it took about 6 months for him to go through the process and get embedded and all the right people to talk about it. But last Saturday, he had his first day, pickleball day, where he had all these families come and play pickleball. And he got to use his heart and passion he has the gifts of hospitality and service. He got to use those gifts of hospitality and service with a passion of loving and playing pickleball to love on these families and serve them. And, we actually have a ministry here called Quest, who has a big bin full of balls and nets and all that. And they said, hey, you can use these, or donated some of the equipment so that he could take that out there and do that with those kids. So that's an example. Now he's getting engaged out there and starting to build relationships. And guys, when you get engaged with the ministry and you start building relationships, that's where impact happens. And that's where mutual impact happens, not where you're just impacting that ministry or that person or that thing, but you're being impacted as well. And you're experiencing God's pleasure and joy in that. And that's one of the things I meant to say earlier, is as you're thinking about things you're gifted at, as you're thinking about things you have a desire or ability of, also think about what are things that you do that you enjoy doing, that you get joy from. That can't be the only question you ask, but it is an important question to ask. So those are some things. I'm going to, before we leave, maybe I'll get a couple people at the door, because I don't want y'all to look at these before, but, can I have a few minutes for, you said 10:35, yeah. We can close by then. All right. So that's some of the thing. That's kind of all I wanted to say, but I wanted to just open it up for questions and discussion. So I know Russell's going to ask me a question because he's on my team, and there's 1,000 things I didn't say that he's probably thinking, you should have said this. So go ahead, Russell.
I'm just gonna, how many people in here have already participated?
Yeah. Raise your hand. If you've already participated in Impact Birmingham, raise your hand. All right. Maybe a third or a quarter of the class. So that would be a great goal for the class. You know, it's like, why not? You have the dates, October 18th. If you're a big Auburn, Alabama person, the games aren't till the afternoon, that day. You can serve from 8 to 12 and then go to your game and tailgate or watch the game at home or have people over, and watch the game. So, I know that's sacred in the South football in the state of Alabama, but we intentionally did it in the morning so that it wouldn't interfere. But October 18th is our Impact Birmingham this fall. And then,
and you do every, like, you show up at a house, maybe. There's a ton of,
yeah, there's tons of different opportunities. It's not just, I mean, we have a prayer team that meets in the chapel. So you're like, Max, I'm physically not able. Or I had shoulder replacement surgery 4 months ago. And when we had Impact Birmingham, everybody was like, yeah, I showed up with my sling, and everybody's like, that's convenient, Max. You know, but you might be physically unable to be on the prayer team, you know, but there's less manual things as well. We serve with a diaper bank. We serve with food banks. We do construction projects if you like doing that kind of stuff. It's all over the map of things that we can do. Craft projects, write at the diaper bank. They need people to write cards and scripture cards. I mean, there's all kinds of different opportunities to serve.
That's what struck me. I mean, just so many different, because I know people in here that do so many different things well. And just range of things you could do, feel like you're impacting.
Yeah, it's a very wide range. And again, it's to get exposure to that ministry, you know, so that you can be involved and have a deeper lasting impact. And that's what I say. Those of you that have served before, get a buddy, from this class and invite them to go with you and pick a new ministry and go serve with it. So what other questions about discovering your gifts, developing your gifts, deploying your gifts? John said y'all like to talk and y'all ask questions. So
no limit.
Everything else he said has been true, so don't let him down.
Are these ministries, like what we're calling them, partners, what other, like, with each one of those things that we're going to do, are those partners that we are partnering with financially as well? Or are those, how many of those are a one-off thing? How many of those are?
Yeah. So it varies every time. So there's ministries that we're getting to know that we're building relationship with that, like one example would be Grace Klein. Grace Klein does a lot of great things in our city, but there are some things that I don't feel comfortable with, at this point. They're young, they're developing, they're growing, they're still figuring some things out. They're about 10 years old, 10 or 15 years old. They're doing lots of great things in our city. And I think it's great for us to go and volunteer with them, and give some of our time, but I don't feel comfortable yet, giving financially, you know, or becoming a financial partner with them. So there are ministries like that that we're vetting, in that sense. And so, that are one-off things. And then there's ministries that we help start. Briarwood Members Help Start, Foundations Learning Center, Restoration Academy. Our members were huge in starting that off and getting that going. Grace House was a Briarwood member, Mama Lois. So we're partnering with ministries that we have a long history with that Briarwood members actually were involved in or helped start. We're founding members of, but we're also getting to know and building relationships with other ministries around the city that we're vetting and getting to know as well. So
Hey, Matt, you were mentioning before about taking the gift thing online.
Yes.
I think you said that you didn't have help.
Yeah. Okay, what do y'all do, email? Okay, so we could, some classes don't, you know, there's a certain age where you say email and they're like, no, you know, what's an email, you know, you know, it's only GroupMe or Snapchat or whatever, but John, what if we could send a link, to either the spiritual gifts assessment they could print out and do themselves or a free one that is online that y'all could use. So that will be mine and John's assignment this week is to send a follow up email, for that. So yes. Yeah, that's a great question. So that's part of what I try to do is I would love if you take your spiritual gifts assessment and you're kind of like you're not sure what to do next. That's part of my job. I want to help coach you and encourage you and give you ideas. There are more opportunities to serve and be connected to than we have people to fill it. And there's 3,500 of us here at Briarwood. And that's one thing I just vision wise, and I'm going to pray, but just think if I know a lot of us are out there doing a lot, but just think if Briarwood, 3,500 of us got engaged in our city, the transformation that would take place. Pastor Reeder always used to say every member, in ministry. That's my heart. That's my desire. I want to see all of us in ministry, whether that's, you know, with the ballet ministry or the youth ministry or, you know, our evangelism ministry. I don't want to recruit you away from those things if you're already engaged in those ministries. But if you're not involved and engaged in a ministry regularly, let me help you. Let our team, the local missions team, help you get engaged in the community. So that's why I'm here. So I'd love to. My email is simple. It's mfun@briarwood.org. Email me. I would love to set up a time to talk to you and do that. And so after you take your spiritual gifts test, I'm going to pray. I've gone a few minutes over. So. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for discovery. Thank you for all the things that you're doing in and through them. And, Lord, I know there's so many things that I don't even know, and needs that need to be met, but I pray that you would come and you would comfort your people, that you would love them and strengthen them and heal them, Lord. But I pray also you would empower them and even in their weakness, God, that you would use them and use their gifts, help them to be deployed, that this class would, be an example even to all the other communities in our church of being deployed out into the city to have great impact for your kingdom and for your glory, because they've discovered and they've developed and they're deploying the gifts that you've given them by your grace. So we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.